Just a reminder before we get started that we bring these Stronach 5 shows to you in conjunction with our friends and partners at Daily Racing Form, and you can get free Daily Racing Form PPs for all the Stronach 5 races over at drf.com/ITM. Just use the promo code MONEY for free Daily Racing Form past performances. Just remember, go to drf.com/ITM to download those free PPs. Welcome to a very unique edition of the Stronach 5 podcast. We had a couple of interesting suggestions from listeners. One, and you'll see this a little bit later in the show, is the idea that maybe it's easier, especially if there are two guests, to go through the Laurel races and then go through the Gulfstream races, and then we'll fit them all together at the end when I do the ticket construction piece of the show. So we're going to try that a little bit later on. But the other idea, and this one, the listener was being so nice, instead of saying, hey, knucklehead, you missed the fact that that first race was going to be off the turf and all your picks were going to scratch last week, which may have hurt some people, given we were pretty good the rest of the way in that Stronach 5 ticket, that we wouldn't have hit it ourselves anyway because of my terrible decision to back off that 11 horse to make the ticket cheaper. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The other suggestion that was great and very nicely made was to bring a weather report element into this. And if you know me and you know these shows, you know who I'm going to turn to when it's time to grab a weather report. None other than at G1 Handicapping himself, our friend Marshall Sterling. Marshall, how are you today?
I'm good, Pete. I'm good. How about you?
Things are good. I've done my cursory look at this weather forecast. And tell me if I'm right. Gulfstream, we're out of trouble. We're going to be on the turf at Gulfstream, it looks like. But when it comes to Laurel Park, and especially this eighth race at Laurel, I wasn't so sure. So I wanted to bring in your expert advice. Let's start with Gulfstream. What are we looking at for this week's Stronach 5?
Yeah, Gulfstream looks fine. There'll be rain in the area, but I don't expect it to impact Gulfstream Park during the race card at all.
Good. That's all we need to know there. We'll handicap with on the turf and presumably fast and firm, or maybe a little cut in the ground. What would you guess as far as that goes?
I would guess that there may be some slight cut in the ground, but it'll likely be labeled as fast.
All right. Now let's go to the hard part of things here. Laurel. And what do you think we're looking at? They obviously had a ton of rain this week with the after effects of the hurricane / tropical storm. Do you think we will be on turf for this eighth race? It looks like it'll hold together even if it comes off the turf. And we'll definitely get a thought from our Laurel expert momentarily about both surfaces for this one. But what do you think the weather's going to be at Laurel? And do you think, crucially, this eighth race will stay on?
Well, with the races coming off today being on Thursday, and they are expecting to get more rain this evening, somewhere between a quarter to a half an inch more precipitation today. And there's a potential for rain right around that race as well. I would probably, if I had to take a guess right now, I would say that's probably going to be off.
Okay, we're going to handicap that one both ways, and I'm an optimist in this life, so we're going to put the tickets up as if it's staying on, but I will go ahead and make a move and change it to the dirt tickets if we have to. Marshall, thank you. We're going to make you do this every week, if you don't mind, when it comes to the Stronach 5. You can come on and chat with me for a minute, or maybe even just record something into your iPhone, and I'll drop it in like, you know, traffic and weather on the old news radio, sports radio days, if you're game.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I've described the unusual setup of today's show. We're having a little bit of fun during this extremely important racing week. As I mentioned, one of the things I'm most excited about, despite all the stakes racing going on, up here at Saratoga, is this Stronach 5. And we brought in one of the big guns here. I was asking around about people who are sharp when it comes to analysis at Laurel, and one name kept coming up. He's got a lot of different titles. We'll make him talk a little bit about some of his responsibilities. But for right now, listeners, I just want you to meet Keith Fustel. Keith, how are you today?
I'm doing fine.
And I understand among your responsibilities, you do TV work. Folks may have seen you in that role. You chart call for Equibase. You make the line for the Maryland Jockey Club. You wear more hats than me, and I don't often get to say that.
Yeah, I guess I'm a jack of all trades at Laurel Park. If Dave Rodman goes down, I'll step in probably and do the announcing for him. But I've been around quite a while, and I've been around a lot of great people, learned a lot, but right now at Laurel, they're keeping me very busy, no doubt.
I want to start right in to talking about these races in this week's Stronach 5. So we'll kick things off, and we'll try to be very respectful of your time here today. And it kicks off with our sixth race at Laurel. We start things off with this race that goes scheduled post time of 3:21 on Friday. We've got two-year-old maidens going 5 furlongs on the dirt. How are we going to kick things off in this week's Stronach 5?
Well, I tell you, this is our first two-year-old race of the year. We've been delayed here in Maryland, but we're going to get things started with boys going 5/8 of a mile. And the experience comes from, Delaware Park. The horses had gone up to Delaware quite a few of these and got a race or two under their belt. And we see a lot of the familiar names that, run two-year-olds at Laurel. And mainly, I guess, the first name that jumps out at you at recent note is Cal Lynch, who's just been on a tear. He's about 25% with two-year-olds over the last 3 years at Laurel on the dirt. So I think you start there with the 4 San Antone, took plenty of money last time out of Delaware, beaten favorite. Blinkers go on. Positional speed at the 5/8 is always key. This horse has some staying power. I'm keying around the 4 San Antone, the 7 Don't Dare Me, Anthony Ferrier's horse. Ran 6/8, so we're going to back up a furlong here. But the blinkers go on. Good move, positive move for him. Maiden second out as well, and always a hurry to the outside. Dale Capuano's horse, he'll be my top selection in here. I like the fact that he closed ground at Delaware. It's a tough thing to do for horses. You don't usually see horses close 4 or 5 lengths through the stretch up there. This horse, the blinkers go on. A little bit of a funky trip first out, broke sharp, dropped back, came again late. I think he'll be poised to stalk and pounce on the speed to the final 8.
I like the sound of it, and just to recap your spread there, it's not really a proper spread, looking to press, which number was the one you were looking to press, the top pick?
The 9 would be my top selection, but I think you've got to use the Cal Lynch, the 4 San Antone, the 7 Don't Dare Me, and if you go to the inside, if you have a little opportunity to spread a little deeper, the 1, another Cal Lynch first-time starter, depository, Larley Glasser named right now, has worked alongside San Antone, it looks like, a few times in the morning at Laurel. And Larley Glasser's been on a few horses of late and had some luck teaming up with Cal Lynch. But Mosler, kind of an unknown right now. He's only had two runners so far, so a little tough gauge there. But the mare did have a debut winner.
That's always a good angle in these maiden races.
Uh-huh.
And I'll do later in the show, I'll go back and I'll put these tickets together and we'll include as many as we can, depending on where our strongest opinions are. Let's move on to race number 7. We've got 3 and up Nickel Claimers going 1 mile on the dirt. Is this a place where you think we can narrow down, or is it a place where you think we have to spread?
I tell you, what you've seen with these Stronach 5s, especially the races at Laurel, very contentious. Even though you're getting some horses to pay $9, $10, these Stronach 5 payouts are paying huge because the races are that tough to kind of get through. And this is another one. It's a little tricky. I'm going to try to narrow it down. I think we've got to go 3, maybe 4 deep. My top selection would be See Mama Cita right back, the 7 horse for Dana Dilla DeVico. Just won the 2 in leg condition going 7. Going to try to nurse the speed another furlong. And I think she can. I think she can do that. She would be my top selection in here. The number 10, Princess Georgia, you're going to get value based on the barn. But figures work. The 2-back try was clearly out of condition. This is a much softer group. They were clearly proven veteran type of runners on June 27th at Laurel. And the 11, Haas Kitten. I don't know where that race came from at 10, but everything worked. It was a weak field. The best prior number, I think, coming into that race was a 28 buyer for the field. So, but maybe it's an equipment adjustment because that horse had a really goofy trip 2 races back at Delaware. It dropped 5 lengths out of it after bolting at the top of the stretch and came again late. So that's it. The favorite works, Win Then Grin. It's a 3-year-old filly that got good late in the 2-year-old year. Dale Capp, a move he's done with a lot of these fillies, beat has put those earmuffs on. She responded to that. She comes out of actually a little bit better race to Charlestown, taking that drop down to the five. That's always a little bit worrisome for me.
That's interesting, because the new low level, sometimes these claiming levels can prove to be a potent positive angle, but you feel like on this circuit, sometimes it's a bridge too far. It's just too much of a sign of no confidence.
No. I mean, Dale is a guy. We've seen these trainers, some of these trainers in the past that we've gotten to know at Laurel. They can go ahead. They have enough horses in the barn. It doesn't scare me off too much when they drop to the nickel. She's not that fast. I mean, that's the clear thing about Wendy Grant. She kind of settles usually mid pack, doesn't bring a strong run, just a grinding type of runner. How much more can she advance through conditions, I think, is the key. So they're going to try to get what they can get, I believe, right now.
Makes sense. And one I think that would make sense if could be included as a backup, if only on the pace scenario here. It does look like there's plenty of speed signed on, and she does have that kind of grinding style. Yeah. Not one I'd want to press or trust as a favorite, but one that could make sense on the backup tickets anyway.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about this eighth race, our final race at Laurel. And we've got a 3-and-up allowance race going 5.5 on the Laurel Turf. We've done okay on these shows, on these Laurel Turf sprints. Hopefully that trend will continue here. What do you think is going to win this one?
I think the biggest key here is that this race stays on the turf. I know when we're taping this on Thursday, we are off the turf today. We had a little bit more rain this morning in the Baltimore, Washington area. Hopefully we can get back on the turf tomorrow. I tell you, this is another tough field, not a real big field, but there's not a whole lot separating these horses. From a pace scenario, I think you're going to see Sky Magician offer a little bit of value. I've got lined at 6-1 on the line. He may come down a little bit. He just really wasn't kind of pushed into the race last time at Delaware. I think we have four horses out of that Delaware race on July 15th. He's going to have to deal with 4-2, but if he brings his top effort, I think he's that price horse that we can't really toss. And even Joseph is a horse that is capable on his best. He's getting a little bit long in the tooth, but he's got an 85 buyer, three races back. Granted, that was September of 19, but needed its last, could definitely fire on best. Tempt Me Twice is the horse. Consistency, I think, is key for him. He works perfectly in here. I go 6 with 7-9, using the 7-9 as your really kind of blow up horses. Would not surprise me if the 4 or 5 got in there. It's that tough of a race. I went through this race quite a few times. Nobody separated themselves from each other.
I love the idea of using the 7 and the 9. I always like that idea, as listeners know, of trying to have the best speed, which is what Sky Magician looks like, and the best closer, an appellation that might fit Joseph even at that big price. So I love that idea. Maybe we'll try to work in the 6 as a backup. If this race does get rained off and go to the main track, is it as simple as tap and cap, or do you like one of the horses who might be moving from the turf to the dirt in that instance?
Well, certainly I believe your Fortitude will stay, and he will merit a lot of consideration because of the speed factor, a good draw to the outside. Sky Magician, he just hasn't shown that ability to be as fast on the dirt. So I think it would be Fortitude and Tap and Cat. Follow the Dog. He's got some back races. He is a reported first-time gelding. So there is a shot that he could be a user if he stays. I know his recent form is not good at all, but maybe the first-time gelding angle would kind of bring him back. But Fortitude, Tap and Cat, they're going to be the two favorites in there if it comes off.
We've certainly seen that angle pay dividends before, the first-time gelding angle and the kind of thing that could lead to a reversal of form. Well, I know you have a super busy day. I appreciate you blasting through these races with us, Keith. And next time on, we'll have you for much longer, get more about your background and your methods, because obviously, even just hearing you quickly on here, it's obvious how well you know this circuit and the work that you do. So thank you very much for coming on the show and your time today.
You got it, Pete. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Best of luck to everybody.
And now I'm very happy to have back with us for another edition of our Stronach 5 show, our buddy from Gulfstream Park, it's Jason Blewett. Jason, how are things, my man?
Hey, Pete, everything's good down here. We're just moving along. It's already early August, which is hard to believe, and obviously excited for the Travers, rooting for Tis the Law, and of course the latest round of the Stronach 5.
We're going to dive right into that in a minute. But it is funny. I'm bringing you on at all these like super significant times, right? We were here right on the eve of Saratoga. Now it's the eve of the Travers. I know you said you're rooting for Tiz the Law. You think he's going to do the business on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at the race all that closely. And, you know, there's certain horses, even at that grade one level, you just, for one reason or another, you get attached to and you try to look at things objectively. But just off memory and just how good he's been from day number one, boy, I got to think he is just ultra, ultra, ultra tough against that cast in the Midsummer Derby.
Let's move on and talk about this Stronach 5, just the Gulfstream portion of this week's Stronach 5. It starts off with our eighth race on Friday. It's scheduled for a 3:40 p.m. post time. We're going 5 furlongs on the turf. It's a 3 and up allowance. Jason, you did an excellent job last time on going through these Gulfstream races and letting us know where to be skinny, where we need to spread. What's going to be your approach in the Stronach 5 this week for this eighth race at Gulfstream Park?
Boy, I'll tell you, Pete, I might lean an A unequivocally, but I, depending upon how many tickets and how much money I was putting in, to me, lining up the schematics of the eighth race off the bat at Gulfstream, I think everything needs to go through and pivot off of the presence of the very speedy Go Gone Gone, who is a two-way player. I still think he's a little bit better on turf, even though his dirt form of late might argue that to an extent. But his speed and the fact that he is now with Rich Averill and Georgina Baxter, I am expecting a very big effort out of him. So, again, he is an A to the cows come home. It gets a little murkier after that, but I think the second horse I would potentially go to in the eighth race would be the number 5, Frenchman Street, who I don't think has really improved or stepped up his game all that much after being claimed by Mike Maker off Safi back in mid-February. But he, to me, seems like a nice, like, complimentary style, or at least horse, to Go Gone Gone, who speed. And I'm kind of going into this thing thinking Frenchman Street, getting back to his real sweet spot, which is 5 on the grass, he may be the best finisher in the mix.
I always love having the best speed and the best finisher. We've talked about it elsewhere on this very show. And this also very much aligns with JK's perspective in these 5 furlong turf races. He always wants to have the horse with the best numbers overall, body of work. That would be Frenchman Street. And he always wants to have the speed of the speed. And in Go Gone Gone, we've seen the Averill Baxter team. They have a particular knack with identifying horses that are going to thrive at this particular configuration. And no reason to think Go Gone Gone won't be another one of them. So you and I are in lockstep in race 8 at Gulfstream. I think we can consider that a good thing.
Do you have any opinion on the 9 cable channel? Because he's another like main, you know, meat on the bone type horse here. But I don't know with him. I walked away from his last race thinking it might be a little illusory and he might be a little bit enigmatic, so to speak, and I don't fully trust a horse who's not going to be a big price in that spot. I was wondering what you thought maybe of the 9 cable channel.
I think cable channel's interesting for sure on numbers, not far off the best of these, but I leaned against for 2 reasons. One was just doing the little pace plot, and you can see this right on a product like Timeform US. I just think he's going to end up with a lot of work to do, and even though the recent workouts are signaling readiness, I thought between being behind, at the end of the day, behind the potential big improver in Go Gone Gone and the more obvious form horse in Frenchman Street, I just thought this was one I was going to leave on the outside looking in. But if you were to then go ahead and ask me who's the most likely to stuff me in a locker if my opinion ends up being wrong here, it would probably be Cable Channel. I just find it very hard at 5 to be a horse who's going to be, unless you have a big fig edge, to be projected in the last third of the field. So that was why I was comfortable fading. In your ideal world, though, would you have Cable Channel at least as a backup on the tickets?
He might be a backup. And that, I guess, is my diplomatic way of saying, no, I don't know. I don't think I'd use him, man. And I hate going into races like being overconfident, or, you know, just have like this inkling that I'm just overrating a horse to an extent, but I really think Go Gone Gone is going to be very tough to catch in this spot. I really do.
Yeah, just getting back to general approaches to turf sprints, if it's a turf race going even an extended sprint, even six at a place like Belmont, where you'll see more turf sprints, one from off the pace, I will often want to include the horse who has the best late closing sectionals, which I think Cable Channel probably does overall in this race. But it's one of these things about I'm much more confident leaving these horses off at five furlongs at Gulfstream. I mean, you know the local circuit much more than me, but I mean, it's pretty rare that you see one coming from the way back going a flat five, unless they have a big overall figure advantage. Is that true or false?
No, that's so accurate. And it's funny, you know, in my head, there might not, just in terms of yardage and stuff like that, from five to six, you know, it's not like we're talking from five out to 10 or 12 furlongs. But I mean, they couldn't be any different as far as just the kinds of races they are and horses that they may open themselves up to. Yeah, no, it seems like at Belmont, just going six, for instance, a little more of an even playing field, for lack of a better term. I mean, speed is king down here going five on the grass. It just is.
I wouldn't key the nine Cable Channel going six at Belmont, but I wouldn't be leaving out so cavalierly either. And it all comes down to the sometimes – one furlong can play like so much more than one furlong. Sometimes you see that from six to seven. Sometimes I feel like you can even see it, the difference between a mile and a 16th configuration and a mile and an eighth. There's certain spots where I always look extra at distance, at other spots where I'm just much more classic form, figures, class. All right, let's move on to our last of our two Gulfstream races. Goes as race number nine. We've got three and up maiden claimers for 10,000 going a mile on the dirt. And how are we going to get through this leg, my friend?
Well, Pete, I am far less confident than the race prior with Go Gone Gone. In this race, the A's to me right off the bat, or the pecking order at least, the nine Tony Small, probably I feel pretty comfortable saying he might have the most ability. But now, you know, speaking of distance, you know, you get into a potentially sticky spot with him. Can he stay a mile, which for this level of horse down here this time of the year, it's a pretty demanding trip. So horse to beat, yeah, absolutely. But I'd also look at the likes of the eight I Capote and even the six Mizano, who have run fine in their respective careers, but unlike Tony Small, the nine, who's going to be favored for Safi and Edgard, those horses, at least, despite not winning, of course, have run relatively well in context to this race going eight furlongs.
Mizano's interesting to me. I always given pause when you see the 0-for-11 mark, but I was thinking, just looking at pace figures, maybe had the opportunity to shake loose and just enough finish to hold off the rest of them. If you had your way and could include as many as you wanted in this spot, Jason, are there any others you'd want as backups, or do you feel pretty good about this 9-8-6?
No, I also would mention De Guapo, who's just got, and he's the one, he's down inside. He's just got a little bit of a, I don't know, for lack of a better term, kind of a wise guy horse in this spot, where his form isn't all that great. But I've seen Amador Sanchez, who was a native of Chile. This guy's a pretty shrewd trainer. He's only had De Guapo for three races. And I have a feeling, even if he gets beat on Friday, that the Guapo is going to run, and he's going to be a far bigger price than the three we just talked about. I do think this horse is going to fire his best shot ever in this race tomorrow afternoon.
Looks like could maybe trip out if things go according to plan. He could get that position going forward. Again, 0-for-8 isn't sexy, but I mean, hey, that's what we're dealing with. These are 10,000 maiden claimers, and in my experience, the best thing to do in these spots is to just let the numbers dictate what the play is, as opposed to worrying about character flaws, especially when one has gone through a barn change. Seems like there's an opportunity to run a lot better. I suppose we should talk about Dramatic Kitten, another knocking on the door of becoming a career maiden with the 10 runs, 2 seconds, and 1/3. On raw numbers, wouldn't be behind the best of these, but I was comfortable leaving out, but I wouldn't mind your confirmation that that's the right move before I let you get back to work here.
No, I hear you, Pete. Like, Course is like the 10 Dramatic Kitten, and he's not going to be a big price. In fact, off a quick glance here, for line purposes, I mean, he's probably going to be second choice. I have a hard time, and I guess it's a little different when you're talking about multis, but I still, in general, horses like him are persona non grata 98% of the time with me, where he's going to be bet and not be a big price in a dirt race off turf form. And this horse has won dirt race. I know it was a sprint, and it was a while back, right around Fountain of Youth time. Just wasn't a good effort. So he's the kind of horse you hate to not cash this thing and miss by one, but no Dramatic Kittens for me here, just because I think his best game is easily on the turf, and he's not getting that.
I think that's right. You've made me feel more confident in that decision to leave out. It's also interesting to think, without the pace, if Dramatic Kitten were to not like the surface and not fire, that is going to make life a lot easier on the aforementioned Mazzano, potentially either shaking loose or maybe getting a stalking go at Treasure Run. I feel good about those four. I'll probably look to play the 6, 8, and 9 as A's, and the 1 off your interesting long shot look there as a B. We'll get into the ticket construction in the next portion of the show. But for now, Jason, I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing your thoughts with us. Hopefully we'll get this one taken down. And, you know, there's a lot of time between races on Traverse Day. We'll be watching you a lot on the Gulfstream feed, not just for the Stronach 5 on Friday, but all weekend long. Godspeed, my friend.
Yeah, same to you, Pete. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and I hope everybody has a great Stronach 5 and a great Travers weekend.
Okay, now it's time to go ahead and put together these tickets, combining the thoughts from our two experts today, Keith and Jason. We start off in that Laurel 6th race. I thought it was pretty straightforward the way Keith broke it down, looking it over. I just don't think he left much meat on the bone. I don't have stuff to really add. I'm just going to go ahead and play the 4, 7, and 9 as A's and the 1 as a B. Remember also, if you're hearing this and you're struggling to write things down, don't. You can find these tickets over at either the show page, inthemoneypodcast.com. They'll also be on the DRF site where you can get those free Stronach 5 PPs, drf.com/ITM. So I'm going over this for you in case you're looking at your PPs and or consulting your own notes, but it's not like you have to write this stuff down or forever hold your peace. Moving on to Gulfstream's 8th, Jason and I were in complete agreement on this one, if you'll recall, that the 2 was good being the lone A and the 5 being the lone B. Back to Laurel for their 7th race. I divided this one up basically along the lines of what Keith was saying, with the 7 and the 10 as A's and the 8 and the 11 as B's. And then we go back to Gulfstream for their 8th. Jason was a little more spready in here. I'm going to go ahead and take the spreadier approach. I was very attracted to the 6 and may, in my own betting, bet the 6 or press the 6. But in terms of the official ticket we're going to put together, I'm going to go 6, 8, 9 as A's, with the 1 as a B. And then we have two different approaches to this 9th race at Laurel. Being the optimist that I am, I'm going to initially publish the ticket with the 7 and 9 as A's and the 6 as a B. But I'm reserving the right. I'll say it here on the show. I will try to send the corrected tickets around at least via social. So if you want the latest info here, in truth, the In the Money feed is probably the best one to follow. That's at In the Money Media on Twitter. But also, if you're following me at Looms Boldly, you'll see the updated info if there are scratches, etc. But I'm thinking in this race at Laurel, if it does come off, the 2 and the 8 as A's and the 3 as a B, that will make the ticket a little more expensive. But you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and roll the dice and do it that way. All right. That is all we have for this edition of the Stronach 5 Show. We'll start off by thanking at G1 Handicapping Marshall Sterling for his personal weather report. We're going to keep those coming to you folks. That was a great idea a listener had and a very nice way of telling me I'd had a horrendous host fail in not accounting for the possibility of off the turf last week. Always love it when somebody can check you, but do it with love. We're also going to thank Keith Fustel for his appearance on the show today, and also our old buddy, Jason Blewett. Always great to hear from him. We'll also thank our friends at the Stronach Group, especially Steve Cook, for all their support. We'll thank JK. This show is really his brainchild in many ways. He'll be back next week, just a little bit underwater. Make sure to check out this very special sit-down he had with Bob Baffert. 2.5 hours with JK and his idol on JK Plus One this week. It's the first thing in my queue, but everything I'm hearing about it makes it sound like can't miss audio. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is the aforementioned Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your Stronach 5 photos.